I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know how everything seems like a good idea after you've had a few? Yeah, that's this show.
Riding in my car, and I'm listening to the radio.
It's time for Dukes and Bell.
Oh, someone told me it's the Black Beverly Hills. Is that true?
Driving in Atlanta just got a whole lot more bearable.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Hi, everybody. Carl Dukes and Mike Bell. The names that mean goodness.
Say my name, you know who I am.
Carl Dukes.
I drink, and I know things.
Oh, don't question my authority, thanks.
King Kong ain't got on me.
Sometimes you just got to call somebody, and I'm not ashamed to say it. You know,
And Mike Bell.
I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown. I amuse you.
Hope you guess my name.
Bring a pitcher of beer every 7 minutes until somebody passes out. And then bring one every 10 minutes, right?
Get ready for the best 5 hours of your life.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
Don't believe me, just watch.
This is Dukes and Bell.
You know what? Why don't we start doing the stuff that other guys have done on other radio shows around the country?
No.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Atlanta, what's going on? It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man, it is one day before Turkey Day and one day before a great football weekend. We will talk plenty about that, guys. We got a bunch of guests that are going to stop by today, including an interesting guy. Brandon Copeland from our Falcons is going to stop by in the 3 o'clock hour, guys. And Darren Eels got pushed back from yesterday to today. So we'll do a debrief with him, the legendary Vince Dooley, Mike. We will get our picks in before the weekend because Thursday and Friday we are off. And also a little bit later on, we're going to go behind enemy lines to find out about these Jacksonville Jaguars. Mike Bell, what's going on today, man?
Hey, man, doing some male bonding with my manly father-in-law, clearing brush today in the backyard, Carl.
He was out there helping?
Well, I mean, you know, he's just telling me, you know, how not to cut my hands off with a chainsaw and stuff like that.
I hear you.
Hold it away from you, you idiot. So, yeah, we're just clearing some stuff, and you know, nothing else to do today. So we just let's go burn stuff and hang out with my father-in-law. But yeah, a good day today. Stayed away from the supermarkets, which are a madhouse. Everybody's doing a last-minute getting together of all the goodies they're going to need for tomorrow.
Yeah, I went and got my booster today. I got my booster shot. Don't ask me why. Michelle scheduled it. Don't ask me. And, you know, I don't know if I'll feel fine or whatever. What shot did you get, by the way? Did you get Pfizer? Which one did you get?
I need to get the Moderna booster, I guess. I just felt like sleepy for a little bit. That's been the only side effect I got. Yeah.
Yeah. Some people, it was worse than others, but literally I go in and I'm like, I don't want to do this today. I was like wanting to push it back, but I said, you know, we're going to be traveling in the new year. Let me go ahead and take care of this. And I go in and the lady's like, did you really want schedule today on Thanksgiving? You're not going to be feeling well. I'm like, thanks. That's what I needed to hear. So I feel fine now. But they say, you know, if that happens, it'll usually kick in, 10 hours or so from now. So tonight, Mike, I might not be that well. But I can't wait to dive into the turkey tomorrow, man. All the sides and then the games tomorrow. Guys, the biggest college football game this weekend, and I know the Dogs have a rivalry game, but with the way Georgia Tech's going, it's not the biggest game. The biggest game is Ohio State and Michigan because, Mike, after the rankings come out last night, we now know that Cincinnati is going to be in. And I truly believe that. And I'm going to explain to you why, even if they end up losing to Houston, which is a possibility, because Houston is ranked, and that would end up being a good loss considered by the committee. But I don't think that's going to happen. I think Cincinnati gets there, a couple of games left. But it's the first time, guys, a non-Power 5 school is in the top four. And Mike, we've been saying all year, are they going to get left out? There's still a possibility, But I think the way things are going to shake out, Cincinnati is going to be in this college football playoff.
And you and I have talked about it. Look, it's one of those years where, let's be real, ACC ain't got the team for it this year. Big 12, they don't have it either. Pac-12, sorry. So, I mean, it's not like, you know, Cincinnati did anything wrong. They just won everything on their schedule, and they deserve to be there because there's no other clear-cut team. And I'm sorry. I know Alabama fans will get upset, but if Georgia beats Alabama, you're
done.
Out.
Done.
You're out. Yeah,
I'm with you, Mike. So, Cincinnati, guys, and this is – where it starts. We think Georgia, obviously, everybody listening, Georgia fans, they're going to be fine, okay? And we said this, even if they lose to Alabama, the dominant season they've had, the committee's not going to keep them out. They are one of the top four teams in the country, period. So Georgia's in. But with Cincinnati, there are a lot of things that could play out. And believe it or not, Notre Dame's right there, too. Now, they need help, you know, because Michigan sits in front of them, and they're going to need some help. But Cincinnati, here's the thing, Mike. They're going to win their conference, more than likely. And then, as we said, they still, you know, have to be concerned about if Alabama beats Georgia and all you have these one-loss teams. That is the only way they might get squeezed out. You know, if they end up losing, okay, potentially before the end of the season, they have two games left, and one of those games could be, you know, is Houston. They're number 24 in the country. They got a 10-game win streak going on. We'll see what happens. But if that happens, then Cincinnati becomes one of those one-loss teams, Mike, and now we're taking the best one loss team in the group.
Right. And I know that we've had arguments about the expanded playoff. Is this a year where, to be quite honest, you don't really need an expanded playoff? I mean, unless you're an Alabama fan and by chance you did lose to Georgia, but I just think that, you know, when you've got a couple of losses and there's other teams out there, and again, strength of schedule, the variables the committee's looking for, I'll never know what the great mystery is, what exactly they're supposed to be. Game control, right? All those things, right?
Yeah.
Right? You know, all the different measurables. But it just, isn't this a year that says you don't need the expanded playoff because the quality wasn't really there to justify
so.
6 to 8 teams?
Mike, I'm looking at these rankings, and to your point, I mean, if we were an expanded playoff, that would mean Notre Dame would be in. Obviously, Cincinnati would get in. You could argue then, would you have, you'd have a Big 12 team in, which I'm not sure about right now whether they get in. That would be Oklahoma State or Oklahoma, more likely Oklahoma State. To your point, I want more just because, again, I want these guys to be able to prove it. Every year we make the decision for them. I don't like that. That's why I love the fact that Cincinnati is probably going to get in. We want to make the decision based on, well, they're not good enough. Well, they don't play in a good enough conference. Let me see. Let's find out. And if they get blown out and humiliated, then we can talk about it all day. But I don't want to make the decision for the guys. I want that decision to be made, Mike, on the field.
And again, I also don't want to devalue the regular season. And that's why I'm against expanding the playoff. I thought, you know, for a while there, you know, it was a great idea. But the cream rises at the top. And this year, as we said, Georgia is heads and shoulders defensively better. Ohio State is heads and shoulders offensively better. You know, Alabama's offense is certainly hitting, but, you know, their defense isn't what we're used to seeing. So, you know, and then, you know, it matters that Ohio State and Michigan play and then one gets canceled out. That's important to me. The regular season matters. Old Miss is 9-2. They'd be on the cusp of an expanded playoff. Well, they lost two games. I mean, to me, the regular season still has to matter. You know, I mean, we remember the argument we had, the knucklehead saying, well, the Braves just got hot at the right time. Right? Well, but they had a team that deserved to be there because they were just clutch. But is that the way you want to see college football? Because baseball plays 162.
Right. No.
I just don't know I want to see that happen necessarily in college football. March Madness is great. We love the little guy winning, but football, for the most part, we want to see the name brands.
Yeah, I mean, the thing with March Madness is after you get past that first weekend and you see the city, if in fact it is, it's not always that way. I mean, there's always going to be a few. But when we get to the Elite Eight and then you start talking about the Final Four, if there's a team that creeps through that's not a traditional power, that's not a blue blood, it's usually, Mike, an unusual situation, right? And we talk about, like, you go back over the years and you start picking out schools that got there, didn't win it, but got there. And everybody says, see, that's what it's all about. Right. The first weekend of the tournament is always different than when we get to the Elite Eight or the Final Four. And I think the same thing about college football. But with an expanded playoff, I do think you give an opportunity with more teams that could potentially win it. I don't know if they could, but like I said, I want to see if they can.
But I just think in football, depth and quality will rise. I mean, you might get an upset, you know, a Coastal Carolina is never going to beat a Power 5, okay? They're just not going to happen.
Even in the first round?
I said in the first round, you might.
Oh,
but
okay.
But they're never going to win and beat the big dog. You know, I mean, look, just like Central Florida when they claimed the national championship by beating Auburn, yes, that can happen. Boise State has beaten Oklahoma, but can you string together two or three wins against the elites? I doubt that.
404-741-09. 9. It's our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Hey, man, we want to hear from you guys. Find us at Mike Bell, ATL. That's Mike on Twitter. I'm at Put 'em Up, C Dukes. And this radio show is Dukes and Bell 929. Follow the radio station at 929 The Game. And we're on the gram as well, as we'll be putting out those pictures over the weekend. Mike, I stopped in the pet store today. Wanted to see if they had the Hey Man L. They had it. And I was like, make sure you get some, guys. It's out there. They had some watermelon lime, too. And the guy told me at the store, I was at Bullets today, and he was like, watermelon lime, man, people keep coming in and asking for it. I said, well, they better get their hands on it, because I think there's a limited amount of that left out there, Mike, of the watermelon lime until springtime rolls around. So if you want some, go get some for the holidays, man.
Yeah, I know the initial plan was, hey, this will be a seasonal beer, but I got to be honest with you. It's, you know, we've talked about this with our, we have to have the big sit down on this one with our guys from McConey, but it's outselling our regular 2-1, so we may need to roll with that 12 months out of the year. Just saying, brother. It's funny because I dropped my neighbor, Greg, had his 60th, surprise 60th, and the family, they had big buckets of Hey Man Ale because he likes our beer.
Yeah.
And it was funny. A lot of the neighbors had never, and it's funny because, oh, you're the radio guy. I'm like, yes, I am. Thanks for listening, I guess, or not. But it was funny. Everyone's like, wow, this beer is really good. And the watermelon lime, because it's just a hint. I mean, some guys who've never had it think it's going to like overpower you. No, it's just a little bit to take a bite off the hop, I guess. Best way I describe it. And it's an easy, what's that old phrase, drinkability. It's got it. By the way, speaking of heading to the store, I put something out on Twitter today which elicited a stronger reaction than saying something about Georgia or Georgia Tech, and that is, Carl, I have no interest in green bean casserole. I've got 121 likes and 30 comments already on this, but I want to do as a side topic today. You and I kind of scratched the surface on this earlier in the week, but some of those items that you just don't need. I don't need the green bean casserole. Some people say they've got to have it on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I mean, listen, there are a lot of overrated items. That's part of this. I think a lot of people are going away from traditional Thanksgiving. If you have a big family or whatever, and you have traditions in your family that you want to carry on, that's one thing. But I also think, like, the pandemic changed a lot of that. People are like, well, I'm going to do something different this year, because everybody's looking to do something different that last year. So I don't know, man. I mean, for me, there are certain things that I want that I expect to have. And then there are other things, if you read off a list and went, do you want it? No. Do you need it? No. If it shows up on the table, are you going to eat it? Maybe. But I'm with you. I think that is one of those items that over the years, Mike, we have heard you have to have. I don't know if I have to have it. Not for me. I mean, I'm with you. I don't know if I have to have it. But some people are like, listen, it's not Thanksgiving unless you have this item. And maybe that's the item for them. Either way, hit us up, man. We'd love to hear from you. And hit Mike up at Mike Bell ATL. Let him know how you feel about that. We will talk plenty about Thanksgiving and traditions and all of that stuff coming up throughout the course of the show. As we mentioned, guys, we do have a lot of guests today, and rightfully so. I mean, this is a big football weekend. Mike, the Thanksgiving Day games, I'm talking about, you know, the NFL games. All right, there's a bunch of injuries that are going on, but, you know, obviously we're still going to watch because there's nothing else going on, and this is kind of tradition, speaking of traditions with football. But you've got, you know, Raiders-Cowboys, that's the 4 o'clock game. Bears-Lions, no Justin Fields early in that game. And then the Lions, listen, Lions may beat the Bears, and you know, Matt Nagy may end up being fired anyway. I mean, the Lions are 0-4. They are 0-9 right now, but at home, as they usually are for Thanksgiving, that's a noon game, and that kicks off. But the night game, the Bills-Saints game, is the one that I'm kind of like looking at, because I think the Cowboys, they will rebound after being beat by Kansas City. Bills-Saints, though, Mike, and then you said it, Taysom Hill signs his new deal. I think that's an insurance policy more than anything for Sean Payton. But the Bills lost last week and the Saints lost last week. Somebody's going to lose on Sunday night, and I think it's going to be the Saints again. I think the Saints are falling apart.
Yeah, Buffalo needs to really, you know, get their act together. I mean, the thing with Josh Allen, and we always sometimes get on Patrick Mahomes for forcing the issue or trying to create things that aren't there. Josh Allen is guilty as charged of that, too. He's got to take a sack. He's got to throw the football away, and he's doing some of the things. He's got to be – I mean, they've got to talk to him about what are you doing? Because he's gone from MVP candidate to just a really good quarterback this year, which is a shame. By the way, Damon Amendola, I don't really listen to him usually because I don't really agree with anything he says, but he did have a good point earlier last week on the CBS Sports Minute. Maybe it's time to take Detroit away. I know it's a tradition that goes back many, many, many years, but maybe it's time to put somebody else on the schedule and get the Lions off of our national television audience on Thanksgiving. It ruins a lot of people's appetites, Carl.
I gotta be honest. I don't remember anything else. As a kid, it was always and has been, as long as I've been watching football, the Lions on Thanksgiving, especially in that early window. I'm with you. All right, man, we're going to come back. We're going to talk about what else is going on, including our Hawks on the road. Can they do what they did at home on the road? We'll get into it coming up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is Dukes and Bell. Happy Thanksgiving, by the way. Mike and I will be off on Thursday, Friday, back with you on Monday. Mike, some guys are hitting us up saying, okay, so you're going to take the Lions off. Do you take the Cowboys off? No. And then they're saying, all right, so you can change one tradition but not others. Listen.
No, I'm just saying, I mean, look, they're never going to get off it. It goes back, in case you're wondering where the tradition started, it goes back to being a radio thing, and it turned into a thing. But they're terrible games. I mean, let's be honest, Carl. The Lions have been interesting to watch three times in their entire history. Bobby Lane, Barry Sanders, and, oh, that's right, a guy named, who is he? Wide receiver. He also left the team, Carl, because nobody ever wants to be there. Calvin Johnson, Megatron. Nobody ever wants to be there. You know, I don't always agree with Damon Mandelor, our colleague on CBS Radio. I just thought that it is interesting. Could you take another heritage team? I mean, somebody that, you know, like the Steelers, you know, a team which actually has a following.
The Packers.
Exactly. Yeah. And make them the game for a minute or two.
Yeah. No, listen, I like the idea. See, the NFL, here's what's good about the NFL. And this part of it, they are staunch believers in their beliefs as far as how these games should be on Thanksgiving and you know, their holiday programming and whatnot. But they're also smart enough to know in the offseason, Mike, they look at everything, right? The competition committee gets together, they change rules, they do things to improve the game. And I'm with you. If they're smart, why not change it up for a couple of years? Nobody ever thought the draft was going to be outside of New York City. Guess what? It's a huge hit. And they'll continue to move it around the country because it works. So the NFL is smart enough to do these other things. I think they could look at this as we head into Thanksgiving games tomorrow and say, why not? You know, I'm with you on this. I actually believe Damon's right. DA is right on this. But it's about the guys in the league saying, all right, where are we going to go? And to your point, I just say you select another team with heritage. If it's the Bears, I don't care. Give me something else.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tradition. It goes back to 1934. We've talked about this about 2 or 3 years ago, you and I did. I think we talked about it with Squid, whether it was Yeah Man or Guy Talk, but George Richards was the owner back then. He wanted to get more people in the building, so we thought Thanksgiving would be a pretty good time to do that, and the Lions, as they are nowadays, weren't really attracting much. The Tigers, according to the story I'm reading back then, were the story, and so they decided they'd do it, and they put it on the radio, and that's how part of it just became a tradition, so they did it every year. They started with the Bears. It was them and the Bears for the first 10 years that they did this, and then World War II came, had to take a break, but anyway, yeah, it's like, I know it's background noise for your family together for Thanksgiving, but still, I'd like to see a team I'd be interested in watching.
Yeah, and no, you're right about that. The game is on. Doesn't mean I'm paying attention to the game for a lot of people, and that's kind of how they look at the Lions game. All right, and for us, we always ate before the Cowboys game because we wanted to watch the Cowboys game. You know, growing up in Texas, that's what it was. You were going to eat before the game came on. That way you knew at 4 o'clock, it was 3:30 there, you were going to be good to go, and then you could snack the rest of the night. This night game is fairly new, Mike, by the way, on NBC, so that just came about here in the last decade or so. But I dig it. I like having an evening game now that I can turn to and just chill and watch some more football.
Yeah, man, I know that the night game was funny because we've had some moments like the Mark Sanchez butt fumble, right? I mean, there has been some moments. Initially, a lot of people said, oh, that's, remember, it was like too much. The early game is a non-factor. The late game is the one when everybody, you know, undoes a notch on their belt or puts on their sweatpants.
For sure.
And that's the one that generally, now I don't know if you can make it and not sleep through it, but it's the one I'm more interested in.
Yeah, I agree. 404-741-0929. It is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line, and you can always find us there, guys. Hey, coming up, as we mentioned, 3 o'clock hour, we're going to get a chance to talk to Brandon Copeland of our Atlanta Falcons. Also, Coach is set to join us, guys, as he normally does on Wednesdays. That's Arthur Smith, 5 o'clock. We'll talk to Coach Art and find out what he's thinking about these Jacksonville Jaguars. So that's all on the way. Connor Riley to talk some Dogs as well as they get ready for their rivalry weekend against Georgia Tech. Bo Morgan is handling all the business today. Chris is off, Turtle behind the glass. He's handling his business with his birthday and having fun. So, Bo, thank you, and appreciate you doing both jobs today as our executive producer and our engineer. Bo. Let's hit some headlines.
Strap in, youngins.
Hitting the headlines with Dukes and Bell.
All right, speaking of that rivalry, let's hear from Kirby Smart, Mike. He is not disrespecting Georgia Tech.
That doesn't concern me. Our guys have been very mature and handled things really well. We challenged them after the game the other day to come out and approach this thing with a will-not-be-denied attitude. We're going out to go play our best game. That's our goal. Play our best game of the season. How do we do that? We usually do it by practicing well.
Do they cover?
Yeah, just, you know what? It's funny. I was talking to a couple of guys today at the gym. Gym was packed, by the way. Are we the only guys working today, by the way? Not that this is work. We're having fun. We love our job. But I was talking to Rick. Ricky goes to UGA, and he's home today. He lives over here in Tyrone, well, Georgia.
That's what it is, Mike. All the kids are home. Yeah, that's what it is.
But Ricky, I talk to him every now and again. And he was asking me, he goes, what do you think? And I said, well, what do you think? He goes, I don't want anybody getting hurt. And I said, great point. You know, the last thing you need is heaven for, because remember, we were kind of debating how late the starters were in the game in Knoxville. And I just think that Rick brings up a good point. Let's just get the lead, and I don't care what it looks like style points. Just get everybody healthy for the biggest game of the year, which is Alabama in 2 weeks.
Yeah. So you pull your starters.
I pull my starters. Well, I mean,
if you're up 21, do you pull them? Is that enough?
That'll be up to Kirby, but I mean, it's just, look, and Jeff Schultz, our buddy, comrade Schultz, he wrote a really good article about 2 or 3 days ago in The Athletic, basically saying that, you know, Jeff Collins anywhere else in the world would be fired this season, but Georgia Tech doesn't have the money. They never have any money in that athletic department, and despite the great personality and good intentions, he's not doing anything. He's just not. And I'd have to agree with him. So this team, it's Carl, you just got humiliated on national TV against Notre Dame. You lost your season opener. This was a year you wanted to get bowl eligible, not even close. So, yeah, it's their Super Bowl, but there's no way they can hang with Georgia. It just is what it is.
Let me ask you this about that comment from Jeff. Are you giving guys the time they need to turn these programs around? Mike, see, here's the problem, and I'm not going to tell you that you're wrong in the sense that Jeff's not won enough games. You lost 5 in a row. That's a problem. I don't care where you are.
Right.
But are programs and athletic directors, and more importantly, the alums, giving guys enough time to turn this thing around? You went from a triple option offense with guys on a roster, okay, that weren't being recruited in other places, and Jeff comes in and he says, I got to bring in all these different pieces and parts, and I'm trying to change. Here's my point. I know it sucks, but are they giving him enough time? Because this whole thing about he'd be fired, well, guess what? You'd be right back in the same place in 2 years with a guy coming in saying, I got to recruit my guys.
You know, but again, we can spend some more time on this later in the show, because you could do an hour on this one, but it goes back to what is the expectations. And I understand that, yes, we even said this. It will be, I've used that phrase, like a U-turn for a battleship. It's going to take a minute to go from what you wanted and what you were doing with Paul Johnson to now more of a pro-style offense is what Collins wants. But, Carl, you've got to win more than 3 games this year. It didn't happen. And I get it. The schedule we knew was going to be difficult. If Florida State can beat Boston College, Georgia Tech can beat Boston College. You know, the way the season started took all the wind out of the sails, losing to Northern Illinois, had bad out-of-conference loss to start his tenure here at Georgia Tech. I just think Duke is a game you're supposed to win. I get that. You gave up, what, six? You gave up like 2 miles of offense to UVA. The defense, and even Ronnie Jones, who we've had on the show, is saying, and that's a Tech alum, saying this defense is not getting better. It's one thing to change your offense. Your defense is horrible for Georgia Tech.
More on this coming up. It's Dukes and Bell, our headline segment brought to you by ATL Live Well. Low testosterone doesn't have to keep you down, guys. Call ATL Live Well today. Don't just live well. Let's hear from Falcons coach Arthur Smith as he talks about Jacksonville.
At the end of the day, we're 4-6 with a game, with a very, really important game for us this week. And so we've got to do everything we can. We'll see as the week goes on who's healthy, who's up, and we got to put together a good plan, and we got to go down there and execute it.
I don't know if they will. We'll talk to Coach at 5 o'clock. What is the plan? And how limited are we if guys are still not going to be available? And Matt Ryan spoke today, Mike. I want you to hear this, because Matt was like, look, I know everybody's looking at us going, what the hey? But we got to get back on track.
You know, obviously the last 2 weeks not, you know, up to the standard of you know, how we want to play. And I think that, you know, the only way I know to do it is get back to work. And, you know, get back into the meeting room, make sure that we're doing stuff right in the walkthroughs, and then have productive practices.
Yeah, I hope Cordarrelle Patterson can go, man. We'll try to get the most out of Coach, but don't you get the feeling it's also going to be a game-time decision with him as well?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I said this maybe it was last week when I said, do you risk Cordarrelle Patterson for the rest of the season? Some of people would say, you're not playing for anything. Other people would say, wait a minute. I know you're 4-5, but if you find a way to win without him and then you're able to bring him back, what he brings to this offense gives your team such a bigger opportunity as you move forward in the season with some more winnable games. I don't know if that's the case, but yes, I don't think they're going to risk him because, again, you are talking about a guy's career.
Right. I just, you know, can we hope get the running game on track? I know we ask the coach about this like every week we chat with him, but it's just tough. I mean, you need playmakers. We've been able to win with the bare minimum of run game, but that's Matt throwing to much better targets than he's had the last game and a half, last two games.
Hawks play at the Spurs tonight, guys, right here on Sports Radio 92.9. The game tip is at 8:30. Pregame is at 8. And by the way, we've got all of those games for you on Thanksgiving Day. Bears, Lions, Raiders, Cowboys, Bills, Saints. All right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Let's hear from Nate McMillan.
Yeah, I think we're certainly still working on it. You know, as I told our guys, you know, what we have to do is start to show the growth, okay? You know, and that chemistry, that connection on both ends of the floor. You know, we're still working on it. We're not there.
Okay. And he's talking about the chemistry mm-hmm. and all of that. I would agree with him. I'll say this. They should take advantage of a mediocre Spurs team tonight. Right. If you want to get a win on the road, this is one of those teams that it's doable, and you're playing much better after coming off this nice homestand. So we'll see what happens tonight as the Hawks take on the Spurs.
Yeah, 5-game win streak. You know, Reddish continuing to emerge, and Trey for the most part in the homestand. Good decisions when I'm handing the ball off, when I'm taking all the shots.
Hey man, we're coming back. NFL Blitz is on the way because our guest is going to stop by at 3:00. That's Brandon Copeland. Interesting guy. But when we come back, lots to talk about in regards to the NFL, including a settlement for the city of St. Louis.
Welcome to the NFL.
With news and notes from around the league, this is NFL Blitz on Dukes and Bell.
NFL Blitz brought to you by our friends at Priority Men's Medical Centers. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com. Hey, let's talk about this settlement, because we've always had an issue when teams threaten cities to leave and go to a new city if a stadium wasn't built. That was the case with the Rams. It literally was the situation before when they moved to St. Louis, then after they moved away from St. Louis again. So the NFL and the Rams owner, Stan Kroenke, are going to have to pay $790 million, Mike, to settle a lawsuit filed by St. Louis over the team's relocation to Los Angeles. This was in a joint statement from the league and St. Louis. Talking about this settlement does not include a promise from the NFL to grant St. Louis an expansion franchise in the future. It does not include that, but they are going to get a lot of money out of this, Mike.
Yeah, I know it's been a long, long dragged out, you know, deal, but, you know, this is something that I don't know where it goes anymore in the NFL, because there's really nowhere else to hold a gun to some team's or city's head over your team, right? L.A. was always like, it was either L.A. or what? Florida somewhere, right? We're going to take our team and move it to .. Las Vegas is now, you know, all That's booked right. up with the Raiders.
Sure.
But, yeah, I mean, and it's one of those deals where, you know, St. Louis, there was – you and I think – I don't know if you've ever been to that. Or, there's nothing wrong with the stadium. It was what it was. Kroenke is a multi-billionaire. He wanted to move, and he did. And I just think there's got to be some kind of cost involved when the state of the city, in this case, puts some money up to try to do some things to keep you there, right?
Yeah, and by the way, I mean, Kroenke got a bunch of money. I mean, he built that beautiful stadium SoFi that's now out there in L.A. And when things are more profitable in another city, you get owners tempted to move. To Mike's point, though, Mike, look around the country. What other cities can truly support an NFL team? That would be my question, right? We always talk about, you know, contraction in baseball. There are too many baseball teams, and some of these teams. Okay, so what about the NFL? You want to continue to expand. There's 32 cities right now that have NFL teams. I'm looking around the country, and I don't know where else you could put a team that could truly support an NFL team and have the success. New Orleans, guys, is a very small market. It just is. It works because the entire state is bought in, and it's become a beloved franchise, and it's part of their culture, their makeup. There are very few other places, Mike, you could go to a smaller city like that and say, hey, we're going to have the NFL here, and it's going to work, and we're going to have the money to support it.
Yeah, I know that you and I have gone round and round on this one. Where do you stand on this?
As far as expansion?
Yeah.
I think the next expansion for the NFL is overseas, and I don't want to see that.
I think it's going to, and London has been kicked around for a while, but you and I have talked about the logistics of it. I mean, does every team starting in week one get a bye from going there? No, the Jets chose, Squid Billy can jump in there. Wasn't it the Dolphins or wherever we played chose not to take the bye week? I think it was Miami. They chose not to take it after they played the Jaguars in London. But how would you do that, especially when you involve West Coast teams? And how do the logistics on all that work? And London would obviously be the first location they would probably expand to.
Yeah, it's something that the league, I think, it wants to get to. I don't know if they have figured out how they're going to do it quite yet. But, Mike, we got the 17 games. You think we get to 18 games and they're not going to expand? So I think that's where it's going.
I mean, it becomes like rollerball, you know? It's like Hamburg takes on Detroit. You know what I mean? Hamburg. I mean, look, they did – I always thought Mexico would be one that would make some sense. You know,
Mexico City?
Mexico City. They have a huge interest. They always pack it.
We have three of your players held hostage. What?
You said that. I didn't say that.
I'm just saying. Are you sure? You sure? I mean, honestly, I think the NFL sees the marketplace overseas as one that they can expand on. And think about it. We went over there. They sold the stadium out. The Jets go over there. They sold the stadium out, Mike. These are not even teams that these people follow on a weekly basis. So there is a fandom there for the NFL.
So for clarification, it was the Dolphins that chose not to use their bye week coming home from London. And the other thing I would say is I don't think Mexico City's on the board because the last time they were over there, they were basically warning players about leaving the hotel.
Correct.
And then there's all kinds of other issues.
No, I mean, I've heard those same stories. I've also had friends who've gone down there for the Formula One race in Mexico City and had a wonderful time. So, I mean, I get it.
I'm not saying Mexico City is a bad place. What I am saying is there is a serious threat to games being over there. And to this point, the NFL knows that there are security issues over there.
Right. But again, you'd be based in Mexico City. And how many guys, that's another thing. How many guys would be willing, now if you're drafted, you're drafted, but how many guys would be willing to live overseas? Different tax structures, all sorts of things. I think the players' union might be interested in saying, wait a minute on this one.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. It's our NFL Blitz. Hey, man, let's hear from Mac Jones. Mike was talking about, was it green bean casserole that you were talking about, Mike?
Yeah, not a fan.
All right. Mac Jones went on WEEI in Boston and said this about pies.
Or is it pecan pie or pecan pie?
I don't like that.
You don't like pecan pie or pecan pie?
What is your favorite Thanksgiving dessert?
I don't know. I don't think you ever done anything crazy.
Apple pie, pumpkin pie.
I don't like apple pie either. I don't like.
Wait, you don't like pecan pie or apple pie? Pumpkin pie?
Chocolate chips, chocolate cookies.
I like the chocolate. Chocolate stuff is good.
He doesn't like pies. That's Mac Jones talking about that, and Mike was talking about it on Twitter. Go find him at Mike Bell ATL. Meanwhile, the Fire Matt Nagy chants are real. This was at a Bulls game. That's pretty clear, isn't it?
Yeah, don't really need much interpretation on that one.
No, and Nagy then was asked about, have you been told you are going to be let go after Thursday's game?
That is not accurate. You know, I have not, I have great communication with ownership, with George and Ted and Ryan, but I have not had any discussions. We have not talked this week, and that was scheduled. You know, that's been, we have a good schedule over the years where we have discussions. Like you guys always hear us talk about, you know, we have constant communication with the bye week and then with the short turnaround with game prep. We have not.
Do you have assurance that you'll coach the rest of the season?
Say that again?
Do you have assurance that you'll coach?
Again, my focus right now is on these players and on Detroit. That's it.
He's gone.
Yeah, he's gone. Nice guy. Was here with the Georgia Force way back when. By the way, Fields isn't the only guy Carl's not going to be out there. Pro Football Talk saying Akeem Hicks, Damian Williams are also out for Thanksgiving. Allen Robinson is doubtful. So they got a bunch of injuries and issues as well for a game, which, as we already described, I'd be interested in moving out of Detroit. But, I guess the under will be the play, Carl, on the early game Thanksgiving Thursday.
I'm glad you gave that to me. Hold on, let me write that down. Under early game. Brandon Copeland joins us next, guys. It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.